I have been going on a lot of podcast episodes lately. It's been ever since the Forbes, Yahoo Finance, and the USA Today articles went out, where it was calling me things like a top 10 entrepreneur, which was, it was pretty cool. But ever since then, literally my assistant's emails and my own emails have been blowing up, getting me on people's shows. And this was one of those here today. So I got introduced to Alvin, who is the founder and the CEO of the Journey to PersonalGreatness.com, and he had me on his podcast to talk all things personal greatness, and so that's what you're going to be hearing about today. And after I did this episode just a couple of days ago, well, Alvin really got me thinking about the way that I think, because you'll notice the things that he's saying. He just kept mentioning, you're so self-aware, you're so self-aware. And so I wanted to get to the bottom of why I'm so self-aware. And so after you've listened to the conversation at the end, you're gonna hear me recap on all of that. But I have just decided that I am gonna be doing a podcast tour, right? So that means that because of everything that's going on, because I can't necessarily come and meet up with you and fly out to come on your podcast episode in person, what I'm gonna do is a couple days where all I do on those couple days is podcast interviews. So you can go ahead and send an email to hello@laurentickner.com. So just send over that email to my assistant. She'll get back to you as long as it's a good fit. Just make sure that you include the stats, make sure that you include who your demographic is and what your podcast is about. And then I can either come on the podcast or your YouTube channel, whatever you feel is gonna be the best fit. So hello@laurentickner.com, that is the email there. And with that said, we're gonna dive straight into this episode of Impact Schools Podcast, where I was a guest on Alvin Brown's show.
Where'd you get inspiration? I mean, a young woman and, you know, starting out in school, I wanna be a CEO of an investment bank and, you know, work in politics. What's that? Where did they get that inspiration?
It's a great question. And quite frankly, I don't really know. I've always been around pretty ambitious people. So, well, maybe it's just my dad, actually. Like, my dad's always been like pretty, he not pushy at all, but he had his own business. It's not a massive company or anything. He just was in real estate. And my uncle has his own business, and I've just seen these people have their own businesses, right, and seeing how they can go. Like, I loved how my dad could just come pick me up from school, and my friends would have to go get picked up by like a nanny or someone looking after them. And I don't really know where my drive has come from, quite frankly. I don't think that some people are born with it and some people aren't. I think it's just something that's created through just what you surround yourself with. And so I've been listening to podcasts for a long time, focusing on just growing my mind. And it's really been through what I've been surrounding myself with. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you where it comes from specifically. Yeah. I just know that, well, my brother's disabled, right? So he has epilepsy and autism, various other learning disabilities. And given that, I've seen someone who doesn't have freedom and who can't make his own decisions because he needs two-on-one care at all times. Yeah. And so with that, I realized, well, if there are some people out there who can't make the most of their own lives, when I can and I have the ability to do so, then why wouldn't I? It seems like it's kind of unfair and does a disservice to those people. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say that's my deep underlying motivation.
All right. So Lauren, here's the thing. I love when I interview someone, I love to listen and dive into what they're not saying. Here's two things that I hear from you. A ridiculous level of awareness. You have this awareness of, first of all, here you are looking at these people at your work and going, you know what? I'm actually working my way towards their unhappiness. So that's huge. A lot of people go to sleep and don't realize that and just, you know, get to 40 years later and realize it then. You have this for the years that you have in this planet. So that's one. So I want you to speak to awareness. And two is competition. You have this insatiable hunger. So you're very competitive, obviously.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I find this so interesting, this whole competitiveness. But by the way, thank you. I really appreciate what you said. That's really kind. But it's weird because I don't know if I'm competitive, you know? This is what I find interesting. And those people tell me I'm competitive.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if I am, because I really don't compare myself to other people, and I don't try and beat other people, because I think that business isn't a game, right? I think it's a puzzle, because when it's a puzzle, everybody has the opportunity to win. Whereas when it's a game, some people win and some people lose. And so I don't really try and beat the competition. You know, when people are like, let's get ahead, let's beat the competition, let's get on top. It's like, I don't care about that. I care about people who want to do good in the world winning, right? And actually being successful. And then when it comes to me comparing myself and trying to beat others in the industry, it's like, well, at the end of the day, you know, I believe in meritocracy and whoever's the best should win.
So
whether I'm competitive or not, I don't know. If I am, which I don't know if I am, I guess I just use it to improve my offer and to really make sure that I'm delivering my clients the best results there possibly is.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you see, when I think of competition, I'm not even thinking against, because I'm competitive, but I don't want you to lose. I just want, I put you in front of me and you're my rabbit. And then, okay, what's next? What's next? Because it doesn't have to be win and lose. It can be just just even speaking to you from distance here, I can just tell there's every day you wake up to crush something. And that's the competitive nature that I feel in you. It comes across. It's like, it's palpable. So that's one. And number two, just talk to awareness. Where did you get this? Do you meditate, or how do you build this level of awareness? Because you seem to be able to, work on your business, work in it and on it at a really good balance.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's through literally being in a job that I hated so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like so much. I can't even put words on it. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know that feeling when you're just so bored that your body actually hurts?
Right.
I had that every single day for months and months and months on it. And it was even to the point where I couldn't see properly. And so I went to the optician, right? Because I told my manager, I'm like, I'm having these such bad headaches. There was an optician just below our office. And so because he wore glasses, so he was like, you probably need glasses. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, cool. So I found the appointment that was in the most annoying time of the day so that I got as much time off work as possible. Right. And so I went to that appointment. And I ended up just going home early because I was like, yeah, it's really going on for a long time. I was like, I'm getting the hell out of here. Let's get on that train home.
Yeah.
And then they gave me these really strong prescription glasses. Mm-hmm. And long story short, every time I wore them, you know, for the next couple of years, I was just like, it was like I was wired on caffeine or something.
Right.
And then I went back to the optician twice. And both of those other opticians told me, you don't need glasses. You have 20/20 vision, touch wood, right? And so I was so stressed and unhappy that I couldn't even see properly. You know how crazy that is? Like how much stress can impact your life?
Right.
Wow, it's wild. Like people don't pay enough attention to that. And this is what I tell my clients who are fitness coaches and so on and so forth. Sorry, there's a really loud siren out there. But I tell them like, hey, you know, you need to make sure that you're paying attention to not just training and nutrition, but also sleep, also stress, and all these other factors like family life, because these make such a big difference, right, in people's lives.
Yeah.
And so how am I so self-aware? I don't know. These questions are things that I think have just become so ingrained in me through on a daily basis, on an absolutely daily basis, focusing on personal growth, right? And so I don't know how I even fell into finding out about all this stuff. I mean, maybe it was just somehow stumbling across a podcast, because I used to listen to loads of fitness podcasts. But even then, it's like I got into fitness through, that's a whole nother story for another time.
Right.
Like,
anyways, lots here.
Yeah. So I guess for me, it's like daily consistent inputs.
Right.
You know, every single day, first thing I do when I wake up is I listen to a hypnosis track, because you have like mindfulness, which is to like, you know, surface level, taking you to the present. Then you have meditation, which takes you one step below that, which really gets into the depths of your, you know, what's happened to you in the past and all that. And then one step below that is going to be hypnosis, which really taps into your subconscious mind and it reprograms the way that you think. But I only started doing that like 8 to 10 months ago, and I've done it every single day since then. And I was meditating, well, I was actually doing mindfulness before that for like probably a year. So it's been around 2 years since I've been doing that. But it's just things like going for a walk every day. To me, that's meditation. Working out, fueling my body with good food. I mean, but at the same time, also eating food I love. Like I'm not afraid to eat quote unquote junk food in moderation because I enjoy it, right? And I think that the social element to it is really important.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just a case of like,
and by the way, if you're enjoying this so far, then firstly, remember that at the end, I'm going to do a recap and a reflection of everything. But secondly, we do actually have the waitlist open for the next round of the Impact School MBA. So just go to impactschoolmba.com. That is impactschoolmba.com. We think we may give it away for free again. If not, we'll give you something that's going to help you build your online business. So go to impactschoolmba.com. And either way, immediately, you're going to get sent a coronavirus and a recession survival guide for your online business.
Spending time with yourself, knowing what you like,
and
not being afraid of people not liking those parts about you. Because I don't care what people think about me, you know? I literally couldn't care less. If I'm actually focusing on what I think is best for my clients and the information that I'm sharing is going to help people, if people don't like it, then I'm just not bothered by that. And I think that maybe that could be part of it. So,
We have a short time, but two things I'm going to talk to you on the next podcast. I want to talk to you about habits because you just mentioned how you go through your day because a lot of successful people they have great habits and unsuccessful people have no habits that they build in. And then the other part I want to talk to you later on, the next one is about courage because you remind me of a female Gary Vaynerchuk. Right? I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you why real quick. And then we're going to dive into some tips and strategies for our audience. Here's why you remind me of that. Gary Vaynerchuk can go on the fly, but he seems to have this balance between a huge self-awareness, and you'll hear him say it in his podcast, self-awareness, but engaging as well at the same time. So you can speak in the moment, but be this higher level because you're saying things. And again, I dive into part of my job is diving into the things you're not saying. You say so much, but then you don't fully realize it's come so easy to you that you don't realize it's an art and it's a skill, a characteristic of success. But I want to dive into it at a later podcast. Now, I want to talk quickly about today, like this right now as we're recording this, we're into the, I don't know, tail end or midst of the COVID experience, you know, globally, and you're thriving though. So what are some strategies? I remember in our previous conversation before, you said, I've never had a bricks and mortar. I've went straight online. What was the vision? Why didn't you have a bricks and mortar? Why didn't you go there?
Yeah, well, firstly, again, thank you. And I'm sure we can make a bit of extra time. I'm just going to push off my next call another 15 minutes. So that's going to be fine if you want to dive in today. But everyone who's listening, make sure to hit subscribe anyways, because the next one is going to be even better than this. But with that said, with this current information that I'm about to share, don't worry, it's going to be good for now. So keep listening.
All right, awesome.
Okay, so when it comes to, you know, why did I just go straight online? Why didn't I ever become an in-person trainer or anything like that?
By the way, another awareness that you had, but go ahead.
Well, the reason is, honestly, because I remember thinking like, well, back then when I was 18 years old, you know, I'm going to tell you, I was very motivated by money. And so I had always known, well, you know, if I'm an in-person personal trainer here in the UK, they don't really have a very good reputation for making a lot of money. And again, like, you know, my dad, he put me through private school my whole life. And if I then came out on the back end of it, making like 50 grand a year for being an in-person personal trainer, 100 maximum in central London. So like 130, 140K US dollars a year, you know, my whole life, that isn't necessarily something which I aspired to. I always thought, well, it could be cool because I could train celebrities and all of that type of stuff, which is something that I did consider. But then I just realized I hate being somewhere. Like I literally hated so much going to London every single day, like commuting up there and working in an office. I just hated the fact that I had to be there. I remember even saying to my employer when I was working the job in investment management, like, why can't I just do this from home? Because I could have done it from home. And it really just annoyed me. And so, quite frankly, the reason probably why I was never an in-person trainer was because maybe because I was too lazy to do that. But trust me, I am not a lazy person. Like, I'll wake up at five every day and I will work and it's one of those things, because some people who are personal trainers right now hearing me say this are probably like, how the hell do you have a business if you're saying this? But I don't think of it actually as lazy. I think of it as smart, because I wanted to optimize my time. And so I saw that there were other people out there who had online businesses. And so I was like, you're an online coach. You're doing personal training, but you're just doing it online. So you get to do it from your laptop. You can literally be sat watching TV while you're programming results for your clients, and you can get to go to the gym whenever you want during the day. And honestly, I can't lie. That was one of the biggest things for me. I just wanted to be able to go to the gym at like 10 in the morning, have a bit of a lie-in, and then just like chill for the rest of the day, go for a walk or something. I just wanted to go to the gym and go for a walk every day. I didn't want to have to be somewhere. Honestly, it probably was that. But at the same time, you know, ever since then, I don't binge watch TV series like I used to when I was 18, 19 years old. And now I use any extra time to either focus on me or focus on my business or my team. But I just find it so funny, because those things that got me started, you know, maybe it was laziness, whatever. I don't care. I'll put my hands up and say if it was, but I'm so happy I did it. Because within 3 months, I was able to truly scale my business. Yeah, I made a lot of failures and I made a lot of mistakes. Oh my gosh, sorry, that's an alarm.
That's okay.
But it's just funny now, because the reason why it's so loud outside is because I now live in central London, in the West End, in like one of the most, and look, I'm not saying this to like brag or anything.
No.
But it's because like, I never would have thought I'd be able to live here, right? Living in this type of place in London, I mean, you always hear how London's like one of the most expensive places to live. Yeah. And it's so cool, because I'm just able to have this entire penthouse all for myself. And it puts me in the mindset of success, because I'm like in this location, I'm just feeling so grateful every day. And I think practicing gratitude is so important. So just backtracking, why didn't I go for an in-person business? Well, I saw my dad who had a physical location office with his real estate company. And every single month he was always like, oh, I have to spend all this money on the rent and all that. So I was like, well, I don't want that. And then he also had some properties, but that was bringing in cash flow. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. So like, you own this property that brings in money every month, but this other property you don't own and you're just spending money on it each month. And so I was like, well, I don't want a gym because I'm going to have to pay for all of this equipment and stuff. So how about I just take my knowledge, I turn it into something where I can take other people to an outcome, and I just focus everything on that outcome. And then my outcome that I was taking my clients to back when I was a fitness coach was helping women become stronger, both physically and mentally. Because my fitness journey was, there was a lot of problems there, which we'll talk about another time, I'm sure. And so I was like, okay, cool. I'm just going to focus everything on that. I'm not going to worry about anyone who's maybe like wants to run marathons, because I hate running. So I'm not going to focus on that type of thing. I'm just going to focus on weight training and tracking macros. They were my two ways of delivering people result. And I pretty much did that. And it was cool, because I just got to show up as myself, right? Being me. And I went out and got clients. And I mean, look, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. But once I figured it out, it was just a repeatable process. So
Lauren, you're driving me crazy with this damn awareness level that you have. Like, listen, seriously, a lot of us, we all have intuition, gut, you know, sixth sense speak to us, but we don't listen. That's why you went to your first job and found people older than you just going through the motions. They feel it, but they don't respond to it. So you go to your dad's office, you saw that, and trust me, I'm shaking my head, because I own a bricks and mortar for 13 years. And if I could do it again, I wouldn't. And it took me this long to learn what you're talking about. You're picking it up, just watching your dad. You're saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And then
let me tell you, I worked there on the Saturdays. Okay. I didn't just like figure this out. I was working there, and I was doing this job that was like tough. So I would go around knocking doors, right? Ask, but I was basically a door-to-door salesperson,
Right.
going around knocking doors, asking people if they wanted to sell their home. And I was literally like, this is such a waste of time. So I printed out leaflets and then I tried doing some leaflet, but that doesn't work. You know, those pamphlets through the door. And I was like, there must be a way to scale this faster. And I said to my dad, I was like, why aren't you using social media? You could make one post on social media and get in front of more people from one post than I can get through in a week of like a whole entire week if I was working Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday of knocking door to door. And then
So,
since
Lauren,
then, they focus on the social media. But yeah.
hang on one second. One second. Listen, everyone listening, an entrepreneur is a problem solver. So, Lauren walks in, sees her dad doing it one way. And you see, here's the thing, her dad's a smart man. And I think I'm a smart person, but I kept doing 13 years of the same thing. You know, intuitively knowing that there's something must be a better, but we don't stop. But you stopped and went, there's got to be a better way. You know, that's why we are enjoying this Zoom call, because someone said there must be a better way of communicating. There must be a. So, anyways, everyone listening in your business right now, just take this from Lauren. Is there a better way to deliver what you're doing more efficiently? And other than that's what Lauren does, actually, she works on a lot of processes and building systems and processes. So, is there a better way that you can do what you're doing? And that's what Lauren's really irritating me with right now, because it's like, Jesus, this young girl, as young person, has figured it out, and goddamn, I spend so much time doing what I'm doing. But anyways, we'll just go back to it. So I just wanted to grab that out there, because Lauren, it comes so natural to her that she doesn't realize that this is a skill. This is a this
No, so thank you. But one other thing is like, I think so often we ask ourselves the wrong questions
yeah.
or we say the wrong thing, right? We say something and we don't ask a question. So we're like, oh, I don't have enough leads for my business. And then you just complain about it. Whereas instead of saying, oh, I don't have enough leads, instead, what you should ask yourself is, how can I get more leads? Or what would my competition do if they were in my position? Or if the number one industry leader of this current niche was suffering the same issue, how would their CEO operate? Or who can we bring in to solve this problem? Or what contractor can we hire to get a solution? You know, you need to ask yourselves all these different questions. And every single day, I like to pick one problem that I'm having and just ask myself questions until I get the desired outcome. And that's how I'm able to consistently grow, because I pick one problem and I'm just like asking myself all these questions and answering them. But then when I get an answer of my question that I've asked myself, I'll ask myself a question about the solution that I've got. You see what I'm saying? So it's like I'll have a problem. Okay, the problem is we don't have enough sales. Okay, cool. So then with that, I'll say, what should I do to get more sales? And then from there, it's like, okay, so I can go ahead and I can hire a new salesperson. Okay, then I'll ask myself a question. Okay, what would my competition do if they were looking for a new salesperson? You see what I'm doing? So I'm creating like a network of all these questions. And then once I get to a good solution to the initial web from the spider's web, as it were, once I get to a good solution there, then I'll go back to my original question, which is like asking myself, okay, what should we do to get more sales? Then I'll say the second thing, which is like, okay, more leads. So then it's like, okay, how would I get more leads? And then it's like that, and then so on and so forth. And so it's like you keep going down, and I like to make sure I have a good number of options. And then from there, I need to weigh up, okay, which ones can I execute on right now? Which ones should I do next week? This and this. But I don't wait around on it. Like I do it, if I can do it that minute, I'll do it. So.
There's so much here. I'm just gonna leave it alone right now, because we're gonna go down our rabbit hole. So
Love it. We can do it. We can do the rabbit hole if you want.
couple things real quick. No, you don't understand. This is huge. You could do a couple hours here, because a couple of things. One, Lauren builds a mind map. So what she's talking about is everything Lauren is talking about right now, I've read in some book by some expert over the years. She's just spitting it out without even stopping, and it's just coming out. So mind map, she builds a mind map and starts tagging things and building, you know, So the other thing that one of my mentors, and he's 70 years old, and she's saying it at 24, I think, right? 24?
23.
20? Anyways, so my mentor, a 70-year-old mentor, says to me, Alvin, you got to plan your work and work your plan. Some of the most successful people spend more time in strategizing than they do in working away. And you do that as well by stepping back, building your mind map, building your plan, and then executing on it. So again, everyone, if you're listening, these are some diamonds here. I wanted to step back and talk about, so a couple of things really quickly. Habits. How important are habits in your life right now? Like, when you were 18, you're a different mindset, but you realize somehow that building great habits is key to success.
Habits are absolutely everything. I think the cool thing is when it comes to operating a business or just working on yourself or whatever, is that, I mean, here's how I think about it, right? So let's just say every single input you have into your life is like on a volume dial. Yeah. So let's say there's like however many volume dials you have, whatever. So let's say I was someone who was married, who had kids, who was trying to lose 10 pounds of fat and also trying to grow a business at the same time, whatever. So I've got like four volume dials there, yeah. And so what ends up happening is, let's just say you right now your kids are having exams, okay? So it's like really stressful with your kids. Everything's good with your partner, your fat loss is going good, and I don't remember what the other area was, so whatever. But that means that, let's say all of the volume dials had to equal 100 or something. The kids' volume dial would probably be up at like 80, whereas everything else would be taking up, the other 20. You see what I'm saying?
Yep, I got you.
Because like the good thing is, the reason the fat loss is going well is because you've put habits in place. The reason why the thing with your partner is going well is because you've put habits and routines in place there. And so I think having habits and routines, while that in itself sounds like very fixed and boxed in, especially as entrepreneurs, we typically hate structure. But the cool thing is when you have that structure, it actually allows for flexibility in other areas, right? And so I never used to really understand this, but then I saw it in my own life. Because, for example, like I am a very busy person and I like it that way, but it means I'm always here, there, and everywhere. Always like, if I didn't have this structure, I would be very reactive, right? Because my team is coming at me from all angles. I'd wake up to like 20 messages on Slack from every single team member. But instead, what? And then that means that probably I wouldn't have enough time to work out. I wouldn't have enough time to, well, I'd say I didn't have enough time, right? We all know that's an excuse. But anyway, it would just mean that it would be more effort to do all these other things. However, I have put it into my day for so many years now. The first thing I do when I wake up is I'm going to do that hypnosis, right? So I used to do like, instead of that, I used to stretch, but then I switched it. And then another habit that I've got in part of my day as well is going and working out and also going for a walk. Those are two things that I do. So like they aren't even taking any volume dials anymore. I don't even need a volume dial there, right? Because they just happen. It's like I don't even think about it. It just happens. You know what I'm saying? So I think that habits are really important, because then they get to the point where it's just like an effortless part of you and it becomes your identity. And the most powerful thing and the most powerful change that we can make in our own selves is our identity. Because when you align yourselves with being that type of person, then guess what? It's going to get done either way. So let's say, for example, people listening to this right now, you're probably known as like the fitness person, right? Out of all your friends, out of all your friends from like high school, your family and stuff, you're the fitness person. So what does that mean? Well, that means that when you're at a family barbecue, you're probably going to get asked questions about fitness. You're probably the one who has a bit more salad on your plate than everyone else. You know what I'm saying? It just becomes who you are. And so if you can become the type of person who is successful, you need to think like, what habits and routines and what things does a successful person do? So a great example of this right now, as the time of recording this, is we're during the quarantine. Well, okay, so if you want a seven or eight figure business, but you're sat in bed all day on your laptop working, do you really think that the type of people who have that type of business sit in their bed working all day? I mean, I don't think they do. Maybe if they have like a 12, that maybe if they're billionaires, you know what I mean? But like before that point, no. So
Right.
let's think about habits and routines and all that again. They are
Yeah.
everything. They are literally everything. And so I think it's just a lot of times people try and overwhelm themselves and they try to emulate other people. What works for me probably won't work for you, and vice versa, because there are so many things that are different, right? I'm
Yeah.
single,
Yep.
I'm 23, I don't have anyone relying on me. So I can afford to spend more time on myself. If
Right.
I had kids and a family, then I wouldn't be able to do that. Yeah, for sure. I have a lot of bills to pay and probably a lot more than most people with like a multiple six figure outgoing every single year for my team. So that's, there's stress on me there. But at the end of the day, I know that for me, I'm able to take more risks than a lot of people. And I'm aware of that. And so that's when it comes down to realizing that what habits you put in your life, they are going to make or break you because they are who you are.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm gonna, as while you're talking, I'm remembering this book, Atomic Habits by James Clear. And it's talking about exactly, again, Lauren is, people are writing books about what she's talking about, and she's just spitting it out. So here's the thing, and I'm gonna summarize. So Lauren, what she's saying is if you want to perform at a high level, let's take a pilots. Pilots, when they go to, they have a checklist of things they do, and they don't veer off that checklist, or else we'd all be in trouble. So they have a checklist, but that checklist makes the flight easier each time they do it because they know they all they have to do is follow the routine, the checklist that works, and wash repeat. And they don't have to come and think about wasting a lot of energy thinking about what am I going to do next and how's this flight going to be. It's a checklist. So when you build that checklist and follow it every single time, the flight is smooth, right?
I love what you just said there, where it's like you don't even have to think about it. It just
Right.
happens,
That's
And
what I'm getting.
I think that's the most important part of it. It's like it's taking that decision-making element out of it, because the more decisions that you have to make, the less likely it is that it's going to happen. And I
Right.
think I've heard James Clear on a podcast before, or someone who wrote another book about habits,
Yeah.
that throughout the day, your ability to make good decisions goes down. And
Right.
so that's why you want to make sure that you have checks and balances. So I'll put my hands up and say it. I have a massive problem with snacking at night. And so
Right. Yeah.
what I've done now is I have made sure that throughout the rest of the day, rather than having like a smaller, lighter meal, I have big meals. So I used to typically do this. This came from my fitness days, right? It's a bit of a problem in the whole IIFYM world, right?
Right.
But anyways, so what I would do is I would like eat really light throughout the day and then have massive, massive carbs, like peanut, like almond butter, like chocolate in the evening.
Right.
And so ever since then, I've had this habit
Right.
of snacking in the evening. And so it's because I wasn't feeling satisfied through my meals throughout the day. So what I did is I was like, okay, every single morning, I say like some personal affirmations while I look at myself in the mirror. And so I added something in is like, I eat until I'm satisfied. And then
Right.
I started making sure that with every meal, I'd have like a bag of rice, those like ones that you put in the microwave. We have them here in the UK. I don't know if you
Right.
guys do. But then I'd have that as well as like the meal that I'd usually have. And then now when I get to the evening, it's like if I'm really hungry, then it's always because I haven't eaten a big enough meals throughout the day. And it's really interesting. And so that's just a shift that I've made, and I still have to actively make it, because otherwise I will keep snacking in the evening. So right now I'll just have an apple instead, or I'll have like something small, like I don't know, a small chocolate bar or something.
Right.
And so it just keeps me satisfied. But yeah, like habits are so important. And it's funny that you mentioned the book as well, because I was just adding to my Audible wish list just so that I remember the books that I wanted to read. I
Right.
just added that one to my list.
You're gonna see you in it. You're gonna hear you in it.
Well,
It's
that's why I haven't read it before, because I don't feel like I need to, but
you're doing it. It's just gonna maybe add some pieces to what you're already doing and refine more of what you're doing. So that's amazing. I want to touch on one last thing before we finish part one here of our conversation is courage. Because here's the thing, I don't even think you realize it too, is you've never let influence of, say, female entering your dreams have never had any restrictions on them, as in, this is what I'm the world says I should be doing, or
yeah,
go for what you want. And
well, I used to. That's why I ended up working in that investment management job.
Right.
Yeah.
And not a CEO. right? Because now you're crushing it, and it's unbelievable. But failures, you talked about courage. So I want to talk about courage, and which is why a lot of people you'll meet will stay in a position. They have the same awareness as you. A lot of us, we all have the same awareness, but you've, as you mentioned, you've turned yours up. And so a lot of people will stay at a job for 30 years because of the fear of failing and making mistakes. But you have this courage, again, competitive courage, all of it, the athletic mindset, whatever do you call it. Speak just a little bit on courage for me, having the courage to go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you make your own luck. And I think that, so I had the choice, right? Whether I wanted to stay working a job that I hated, whether I wanted to stay overweight and unhappy like I used to be. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, is like, I think for me, it really is a case of seeing my brother who hasn't had the opportunity to make the decisions for himself.
Right.
And so if you can make those decisions, I think you're doing a disservice, not only to yourself, but also to people who can't.
Right.
And so to me, it's like, if I'm not enjoying something, if I'm feeling restricted, I am the only one who can ultimately make the decision to get out of that scenario. And so many people stay stuck because of the fear, probably of what other people think about them.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, if you fail, like, I believe if you fail, it's, you never lose, you learn. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I see. But most people see, oh, if I fail, I'm going to embarrass myself.
Yeah.
And so that's why they don't make that decision.
Yeah.
And so I have so many clients. I was just on a call this morning, actually, with someone who, she joined our program while she was on the phone, right? But what ended up happening was that she wanted to join over 12 months ago.
Mm.
And so we were talking about, like, okay, so why didn't you want to go for it? And she said to me, well, Lauren, the recent training that you made, because we just did this free program, we call it the Impact School MBA.
Right. And
she basically said, like, well, I only had this light bulb moment through watching your training about finance, because I was showing people how to map out their financial future or whatever.
Right.
And she realized, like, I just have a terrible money mindset. And she was like, the people around me have never been successful with money, so I didn't think that I could as well.
Yep.
And it makes sense, because you're programmed to believe what you see around you. You know, I mean, I don't know about this exactly how backed it is by science, but the saying, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Yep. Again, while I don't know how accurate that terminology is, if you do look around the people that you do spend the most time with, then my goodness me, I mean, you pretty much are. And the reason why I think I was able to elevate my mindset isn't because, like, for example, my parents have these crazy mindsets. No, I've been trying to help my mom lose fat for almost 10 years now, and she will not listen to me. Like, she, you know, it just, like, I'm talking to a brick wall. I'm trying to help her, but no, nothing. With regards to my dad, I've tried to tell him, like, you should try start something online. Nope, he just does not get it, right? At all. And so the reason why I was able to change my mindset is because I consumed content like this, right? I listened to people's podcasts, or as you guys say, podcast.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was consuming content like that. And so that's why now I love having a podcast myself.
Right.
I'll probably reshare this episode that we've done on here, because people should, I want my people to go listen to yours. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's like all of this stuff has allowed me to elevate the mindset. And so I just think so many people, they fear taking action because they don't want other people to see them fail. And I think the reason why they fear the failure as well is because they just don't believe themselves and they don't trust themselves.
Right, exactly. That's
the biggest problem. Because how can you trust yourself if you can't stay true to what you say you're going to do? So many people say that they're going to wake up at 6 in the morning and then they don't get out of bed until 7 or even half 6.
Yeah.
People say that they're going to go to the gym 5 times a week or exercise 5 times a week and they don't stick true to that. And so how can you possibly trust yourself to become successful if you can't even commit to the promises that you make to yourself on a daily basis?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So 100%. I think oftentimes people wonder why they're not propelling and exceeding in life, but you have to look at how you're showing up. Are you showing up as the person that you say that you are? Or are you just having this sort of like vision fantasy you because you want other people to see you that way? Because lying to yourself, although it can be hard to admit that you're doing that right now, if I'm saying this and you're sort of feeling a bit triggered, then ultimately you have to realize that that is because you probably aren't being honest with yourself somewhere. And lying to yourself is the hardest thing to do in the long term, because the only person who knows about it is you. And that's where it's tough, because you can't even seek assurance or something.
Yeah, Lauren, you're ridiculous. So next time when we talk, I'm going to get you just to tell everybody where they can get a hold of you and what's going on with you right now. But next time when we talk, I want to dive into a couple topics about commitment and values, knowing your values and sticking to them, because that's another thing that's coming up for me, for you, is you know your values that you want in life, like freedom and choices, having choices, and you stick to them. You don't compromise your values, which is what a lot of people do. So what is that, what you're saying, I can translate it into people compromise their values every day, and that puts them into a hole. So again, your self-awareness comes back to that. So what's going on now with you, and where can they get a hold of you and so on, get more of you?
So Lauren Tickner on any social media platform, LAURIN. And then my last name is Tickner, TICKNER. So I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. That's my favorite. It's kind of unknown for some people, and I'm guessing there's a lot of fitness people here, so Instagram might be your best bet. But I do also have a podcast called Impact
School.
So if you just type it into any podcast provider, you'll find Impact School. We talk about all things like this, and also growing your own business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and all that fun stuff. With regards to what's going on with me right now, I can't wait to get back to the US. I just want to be back over there. I love the mindset of people in the States. It's few and far between here in the UK. But obviously, who knows what's going to happen because of the whole lockdown. It's pretty crazy over here. With regards to everything with us, what we're working on is just bringing in new clients every single day, multiple new clients a day, helping them scale online businesses. I have two businesses. So one of them is a coaching company, and then the other one is a lead generation company. Right. And so, it's a good time, and I'm just enjoying every single step of it, even though it can be extremely stressful. But again, it's those habits that allow me to stay grounded and to stay sane.
And your ridiculous level of awareness and so on. All right. So thank you very much, Lauren. I knew I had to get you on here. Just talking to you for whatever time we spoke last time, I said, I gotta dig into this woman's brain, and because there's so much there. So we'll get you back on again for sure. And we'll stay in touch, and we're doing an event sometime soon this year, maybe in May or September, whatever we can get Lauren. We're going to have her either online or live, but we're going to get her here so our audience can get just to feel her energy.
Yeah, awesome. I can't wait. Absolutely. And it's funny. Last time we spoke, it was like tipping it down with rain here in London. And now it's like gorgeous blue skies. So I'm going to go sit back outside once we're done here.
Love it. Love it. So thank you for your time. And we'll reconnect and have this again.
Awesome, Alvin. Thank you. I
appreciate you. All right, everybody. Until next time. Stay focused. You can get through this. We're all going to get through it. And stay, Lauren's setting the tone. Re-listen to this, take some notes, and take action.
Yeah, share it on social as well. Tag us both. We'd love to connect.
Awesome. Thanks, Lauren.
So I loved this interview episode. It was supposed to only be 15 minutes, but we just kept going because the conversation was just flowing so well. And if you want a recession survival guide, go to impactschoolmba.com, submit the info, you'll get redirected over into Facebook, and in Facebook, you will get sent the PDF. So this is something that we had exclusive for our clients, but you can get access to it for a limited time only, because I don't want you to suffer throughout this whole crazy recession that's coming on the back end of this, okay? Bloomberg Economics has predicted that in the next 12 months, there is a 100% certainty that a recession is coming, okay?
And they know what they're talking about because they're the world leaders in this. I used to have to use Bloomberg's bloody software when I was working in asset management. So let me tell you, they know what they're talking about. But anyway, with that said, this conversation, it really did get me thinking. So how have I become so self-aware at my age? And ultimately, I do feel that it does come down to the fact that with my brother, I was forced to become independent from a very, very young age. So whenever I had a problem or such, I kind of felt like I was a bit of a burden to my family if I constantly needed them to, you know, look after me or help me with things. And so I kind of just like figured out solutions for myself. I would love for you to just retrace and just look at your personality and just think, okay, where are my strong points? Where am I good? And I think this is something that we always forget to do. You can even ask like 3 or 4 or 5 of your friends and family members and just say, what would you come to me for advice on? What would you say I'm good at? And then you can say to them, and where would you say that I need to improve? Because I think these are gonna be the things that will allow you to become more self-aware. And it will allow you to understand what you're strong at. A lot of people who are struggling to figure out what they should do for a business, if you just ask your friends what they think you're good at, then that will actually tell you quite a lot. Similarly, you can look at what people come to you for advice for anyways. So I think it's a case of just thinking, okay, when it comes to me and my personality and how I show up in the world, am I acting in line with the type of person that I want to be? I think this is one of those things that you have to pay attention to, because a lot of people say that they want to do something and then they never go ahead and do it. And it's like they'll consume all the podcasts in the world and they'll consume all the content, but the learning is the easy part, the execution is the hard part. And making those decisions to actually do the things that other people won't be willing to do, that's what separates you and that's what puts you ahead. And so how have I learned that? Well, I've learned that because I've been the person who's been learning and never executing. And then I've been the person who's just been like taking a bit of information, testing it, writing with it, seeking mentorship, investing in myself and my business. And then let me tell you, I get better results when I'm that second type of person. So with that said, make sure to hit subscribe, share this with someone if you think it will help them. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode of Impact Schools Podcast.